You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to the site now, check out all our Week 6 rankings, and we'll have the start-sit-em column that I do called The Decider. You can check out there and all the sleepers and busts we have for Week 6. And Locked On Fantasy Football, we talked about the waiver wire yesterday with Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly. Today, we turn to the matchups of Week 6, in-depth analysis of both sides of every game. And later in the show, we'll bring on our regular guest here on Matchup Focused. Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus does a great job every week at PFF and on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio doing his thing, and we're glad to have his insight in the show. So we'll look at four of the more potentially high-scoring games of the week with Jeff a little later in the show, but we'll make sure we get to all the other games. Two teams are on bye this week, so start there. That's always a good place to start, the Lions and Saints. So some big-time teams out there that are not in action for you, and so the bye weeks are kind of going to hit us for real here. We had the Bears and Bucks, not as bad damage last week, and the Panthers and Redskins before then. So now the real damage begins here with the bye weeks, and surviving them is all what it's all about. And so we got to dive right in here. We'll start with Thursday night. That's always a good place to start. The Eagles and Giants. This is a 44 over under. There, it's 3-point favoritism towards the Eagles in this one. And I look at the Eagles, they're struggling defensively. And we'll start with the Eagles' defense against the Giants' offense. Great matchups here for Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard. Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby just really struggling on the outside. They're not really making changes. They had an injury to Sidney Jones at nickel, so they can't really move him outside either. Maybe we'll see a bit of Rasul Douglas in this game to help Jalen Mills, who's really, really struggled badly against Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. And this is a similar combo with Beckham and Shepard. And Eli Manning, bump him up a little bit. I think he's usable in a deeper league if you need him because of those two receivers, the matchup. We'll have to see if Evan Ingram can go there with that knee. I think it's a bit of a stretch if they try to rush him back here on a short week. Saquon Barkley is locked in every week there. So I think the Eagles will try to take away Saquon first and can maybe win that battle up front, but I like the Giants' passing game a lot in this one. With the Eagles, I'm not thrilled about the way their offense is going right now. You have Janoris Jenkins could give Alshon Jeffrey a little bit of trouble, so I might go away from Carson Wentz. I think the Eagles, even without JHI, lost for the season with that torn ACL. They're probably going to try to run the ball a little bit more to take pressure off Wentz. The Giants have a pretty good pass defense, pass rush. Maybe Wentz runs around a little bit in this one, but I still can't really feel great about using him this week. So if you've got better options, go there. There's going to be some sacks there. So I expect some ugliness and running from the Eagles there. I think with Carson Wentz, you have to be wary of the turnovers and sacks that kind of limit his production in the game. If I was going to go with the back, I might take a chance on both Clement and Smallwood. You got some key guys on the bye, Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram and LeGarrette Blount and Kerryon Johnson. So I think if you need those guys and you had a Jai, you have to take a shot at them in this game. I still think I'm playing Jeffrey for the most part. Zach Ertz is locked into your lineup every week. We flip to the 1 p.m. games on a Sunday, and we'll talk about the Bills and Texans. And this one, I'm liking the defenses in this one. A lot of opportunities there. The Bills can get after Deshaun Watson here. They have Tre'Davious White to maybe contain DeAndre Hopkins. I'm still, of course, playing Hopkins, but that means the Bills can get to some sacks against Deshaun Watson. We'll see if he'll play. He has a chest injury. I think the expectation is he will play here. So I might look more at Will Fuller. This is a good chance to rebound this week there. The Bills struggle against the number two receiver, so I would look, they're the slot. They're actually pretty decent. So Kiki Kuti, if they put him in there, I'm not a fan of him. But Will Fuller, I think I'm getting in. And don't be disheartened by what happened in Dallas. Dallas has a pretty good secondary. The Bills do too, but not on the second side of things. So Hopkins may not go off as much, but then he did the job against Byron Jones last week. So that was a good sign that he can win this battle with White and be very effective. On the Bills' offense, I'm not going with anything at all. That's a usual standard feeling, even with Sean McCoy running well last week. And rumor has it he could be on his way out of town as well. And so we'll see if Chris Ivory has some viability there. On the Texans side, we'll have to monitor who the running back is. Lamar Miller thinks he can return from the chest injury. But whether it's a Miller or Alfred Blue, I kind of like him in this game because the Bills can give up some volume, some versatility there, and a decent day there as an RB2 slash flex play from the Texans. Running back, whoever it is of choice, and quarterback Deshaun Watson, you're playing every week. He's a 300-yard machine at this point, and I think he gets the multiple touchdowns here to make you feel really good. Our next game that we look at is a 1 o'clock game. It's a 1 o'clock game, at least on the East Coast. It's in London, so it's a night game in London. There it's the Seahawks and Raiders, and it's a 48 over-under, so pretty decently high in this one. The Seahawks running game, they found their groove here. No more Rashad Penny. It's Chris Carson and Mike Davis, both usable again this week and a pretty good matchup up front. I like Tyler Lockett in this one. Now, you can't really trust Doug Baldwin with David Moore's emergence last week and the high volume of running game and Baldwin's knee injury maybe still being a factor here. And the Seahawks pretty much are going to the old run pound it, and take your deep shots with Wilson and Lockett. So I really like Lockett to keep going here. Wilson will have a good game here playing off that run. So everything on the Seahawks side, including their defense, is a good play this week. The Raiders, I think Marshawn Lynch will be running a little extra hard. You can bet that. Beast mode, I think, is the best play here. Amari Cooper and Jordy Nelson, I still like Nelson a little bit more in terms of consistency. Cooper, week to week, is just a crapshoot here. The Seahawks do play some more zone concepts. They don't really have some shutdown guy that can travel with Cooper the way that Casey Hayward had done for the Chargers last week. So there's some hope for Cooper if you stick him in the lineup in the on-again, off-again, every other week scenario for Cooper. But Nelson is pretty sneaky. I think there's going to be some volume. I just would stay away from Derek Carr in this one for sure, and hope for the best for Nelson Cooper, but you never know. And Jared Cook, another tough matchup here against a pretty good team in the middle. Even though they've lost Earl Thomas, they still have Bradley McDougald out there and some guys that can make plays. So I'm going away from Cook. And again, Raiders, Lynch, there's going to be I think at least a Lynch touchdown here against his old team. Now our next game that we look at is back here on our side of the pond, the Bears and the Dolphins. And Bears come out of the bye. They're 3-point favorites. It's a low over-under here, so I don't want too many shares of this game. It's 42 points, so it makes a lot of sense. So don't go chasing that big Mitchell Trubisky game against the other Florida team, the Buccaneers, before the bye. The Dolphins are much better in the secondary. They actually have a very good young player there, Micah Fitzpatrick. I think he can contain Trey Burton here. They're pretty good against number two wide receivers and slot guys as well. Xavier Howard is not as tricky as you think, however. He did have a tough game against AJ Green last week, so I like Allen Robinson, the best of the Bears receivers this week. Jordan Howard complained about his usage and all that. I think it gets overcorrected here because you look at Howard, his running style, the Dolphins and their linebacker core, it's going to be more of Howard than Tariq Cohen in this one. So I really think with the Bears, it's going to be more running and maybe taking a shot here with Robinson. The underneath stuff is going to be hard. So I just don't see a lot of offense in this one. So that kind of favors Howard. A little bit of a grinding game. On the Dolphins side of things, I'm just going away from everything here. The Bears defense is just too tough, well-rested with Khalil Mack. So you can race that, and the Bears defense is an excellent play this week as well. Our next game that we'll look at in this window is the Colts and the Jets. So you never know what you're going to get from either one of these teams. Well, you know, it's going to be a struggle week to week. You can get a good game or a bad game from anybody here. But with the Colts, they're 2.5-point underdogs here. It's a 45 over under. Looking at Andrew Luck, I think definitely you can use him, especially if you have Matthew Stafford or Drew Brees as your starter and you need a replacement this week. Andrew Luck is still going to throw a lot, and that's your. It's a volume based play. Like a lot of running backs are volume based. Andrew Luck is a volume based quarterback play, and you look at the potential T.Y. Hilton, maybe missing another game. Jack Doyle maybe missing another game, but he's going to get it down with different guys. We've seen that. Eric Ebron is his favorite target. He's locked in now as an every week tight end. You look at Chester Rogers could have a good matchup here. Buster Skrine, they had to move outside last week. He struggles in the slot as well, so I kind of like the receivers there, Chester Rogers and Ryan Grant, if you're really struggling in deep PPR leagues. But Ebron locked in. He's going to be the favorite target. I like Nyheim Hines. I actually kind of like the Colts to win this game. The Jets are kind of up and down. I like the Colts to win with the pass. The Jets to kind of do well with the run here, mainly. I don't see a repeat for Robbie Anderson. This actually is a decent secondary when you look at it for the Colts, that they're containing the big plays. They got burned there by Josh Gordon, but we know that Robbie Anderson is not the same type of player. So I'm going to fade all the Jets receivers. I'm sticking with Crowell and Bilal Powell having some value. And the Colts going to be the same type of guys producing for them. And the defense is actually kind of like both in this game. The Jets a little bit more because they're playing at home. They can get some sacks, maybe some mistakes from Andrew Luck. But the Colts are also facing a rookie quarterback, getting their big playmaker at linebacker Darius Leonard back this week as well. So a lot of playmakers on the field for both of these teams. And that's what I like when I'm looking for defense in the low over-under. So you know the points are going to be not high as well. And the next game we'll look at is the Panthers and Redskins. And when you look at this one, it's 45 over under. The Redskins are one-point favorites, surprisingly, after that debacle on Monday Night Football against the Saints. No, they're at home. The Panthers are really not taking a long trip. So it's a little bit of puzzling, short week, that the Redskins are favored when they're clearly not maybe the better overall team. Panthers tend to be up and down on the road, but their defense doesn't play as well away from home, but the Redskins' offense just looks stinky here. So I kind of like the Panthers here. Cam Newton, you're still going to play in most leagues. He's your regular guy, but I would curb my enthusiasm a little bit just because of the way this team is going a little bit, grinding with a lot of Christian McCaffrey in the running game. Maybe get Greg Olsen back. It'll help Cam a little bit, but Josh Norman kind of revenge game there, so I think they'll be eager to try to make a big play against Josh Norman in the secondary after he was benched and they struggled there. So Cam Newton, I think, is going to do a little bit more passing here. I think they'll do their best job to contain him running, but I think he can get the job done for you here. McCaffrey's locked in your lineup every week. With the Panthers receivers, I'm just going to wait and see. It's just too much of a mixed bag. Devin Funchess is really being hurt by kind of the committee approach with DJ Moore and Jarius Wright in there, and now Olsen's in the mix. So just a lot of question marks about the Panthers receiving corps. I fade them, but Cam and Christian McCaffrey are where we're going with there. Now, on the Redskins side of things, you look at not too much here. We don't even know who the running back is going to be. Chris Thompson had a rib injury there. Adrian Peterson has a shoulder injury. It could be Capri Bibbs, and if you're desperate, you can pick up Bibbs here and play him because he's a running back with a pulse who's going to get touches, and sometimes that's good enough to produce in fantasy because there's always that potential of a short touchdown like Bibbs had last week. So we're going to have to monitor that with the Redskins for sure. And the passing game, Paul Richardson's hurt. Jamison Crowder could do some damage in the slot, but if you're in a deeper league, PPR, I might look at Jamison Crowder. I like Jordan Reed kind of in this game. The Panthers have kind of struggled against tight ends this year. So Jordan Reed, overcorrection, only had two targets there against the Saints last week. So I expect them to throw more to Reed when they're back at home. And Reed has been a pretty good home player throughout his career. The next game we look at is the Cardinals and Vikings. It's a 43 over-under. Implied total pretty heavy on the Vikings side as they're 10.5-point favorites in this one. It's not the easiest matchup like last week for Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. Patrick Peterson and the Cardinals can be pretty decent on the outside, but Diggs and Thielen are locked in. Thielen is the number one receiver in fantasy. We don't know if he'll continue the 100-yard game, love, but he's going to keep balling out here. And Diggs, it could be more of a Diggs game. Maybe they'll move Peterson to contain Thielen a little bit, knowing that that's where Kirk Cousins likes to make his money. But I like both receivers overall. They're in your lineup every week, and the Vikings simply can't run the ball. I know this could be an opportunity against the Cardinals' run defense to really get this running game going, but we're not sure about Dalvin Cook again. Latavius Murray has just been okay, disappointed that cake matchup against the Bills. So I'm not thrilled about that. I do like Kyle Rudolph, maybe playing off those receivers. He typically does well at home. Good chance to score a touchdown against the Cardinals. George Kittle had a nice game against them last week as well. So I really like him. So those three primaries and Kirk Cousins here for your Vikings and the Vikings defense at home. I like them. And the Cardinals, David Johnson, and pretty much that's it. Can't recommend Josh Rosen or Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald, even though this, quote, homecoming game back to Minnesota is not a good viable option, just not doing much. I think he's hurting more than he lets on, and it's really difficult here with the Vikings matchup that he's with Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes. It's going to be hard to break free and do anything against them anyway. Our next game that we're looking at is the Chargers and Browns. And this is our last 1 p.m. again that we'll talk about before we get Jeff here to talk about Steelers and Bengals and Bucks and Falcons here and there as the 1 o'clock games. So when you look at the Chargers and Browns, 44.5, the Chargers are favored slightly in this 1 by 1. Phillip Rivers has been red hot here over the first 5 weeks of season. No fewer than 24 fantasy points in a game in the 6-point TD passing leagues. When you look at that, you feel good about him, but we know that Joe Flacco was hot and a popular streamer last week and really did not do well in Cleveland. So I expect this to be a run-heavy game for the Chargers. They should be. Melvin Gordon, a lot of Austin Eckler as a change of pace as well. It's just not good, smart to go against the Browns' pass defense. That's their strength now. Denzel Ward, their blitzing ability, Miles Garrett. They're a lot weaker against the run. So Gordon, Eckler are going to get going here. I do like Mike Williams if you're going to play a Chargers receivers as well as Keenan Allen. I think Mike Williams might score a touchdown this game, but I could see a scenario where it's like two TDs, but 200 yards and a couple picks here for Rivers, and that's enough with the quarterback boom around the league where you can go in a different direction if you need. On the Browns side of things, like Carlos Hyde in this one, I think they'll move the ball. The Chargers are still pretty vulnerable in this secondary. They have no go-to guy outside, so Casey Hayward could be neutralized a little bit, and they can work in the middle of the field to Jarvis Landry. David Njoku is going to have a tough time here, but I could see Antonio Callaway having a shot play on the outside if they can get him away from Hayward. I don't think Hayward is necessarily going to travel with a guy like Callaway, especially with Rashard Higgins out of the mix. So I like Mayfield. I think he can run, do some damage here. He's going to have to throw a lot. And the volume alone and his playmaking ability is definitely usable in a deeper league here for you. At defense, Chargers defense, I think it's a bit of a trap to play them on the road. The Browns defense actually has a little bit more appeal at home, but I would actually play neither in this particular game. Now, I've been talking a lot about these games and over-unders and who I like to win, and I have my picks up there at sportingnews.com, week 6 against the spread. Well, people always ask me, who do I like to win in a particular week? And I got to tell you, where you bet is just as important as what team you're betting on. And I can't recommend then MyBookie enough for you. It's the site that makes wagering on the go a breeze. They've got an all-new mobile site, live in-game betting, and you can check out the reviews online. They have some of the best reviews that you'll find out there and the best player perks in the business for bettors. And there's good news for you guys and gals that don't want to get into MyBookie. They've slammed on the site at MyBookie with a lot of new bettors, but they're giving a special offer. If you can wait till after 7 p.m. and deposit your money, you can get a special $25 extra deposit bonus there. That's right. You can use the promo code LOCKEDON25. The promo code is LOCKEDON25. Enter it in the MyBookie app there that you can download anywhere. Take advantage of that offer, and you'll get an extra $25 to work with there, as well as get your deposit matched dollar for dollar there with your first one at MyBookie. So it's a lot of fun and getting the action. This is a good time to be in the betting world in the NFL. And with MyBookie, it's an experience that you're not going to find anywhere else. So use that promo code LOCKEDON25, deposit after 7 to really maximize your bonus. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. After this, we will bring on Jeff Ratcliff of Pro Football Focus to help us look at the 4 most intriguing, hopefully high-scoring matchups of the week. Joining me now, as he always does here for Matchup Focused on Wednesdays, is Jeff Ratcliff of Pro Football Focus to help us look deeper into the four biggest matchups of the week. How's it going, Jeff?
It's going great. You know, it's always an interesting point of the season, week six. So fantasy regular season, we're almost at that halfway point. Typically 13 games, so the rubber is meeting the road, and you know, if your team isn't rolling at this point, you might be out of it pretty soon, but there's still a little time left to right the ship for sure.
Well, one thing that we've seen in fantasy that's working out very well is the AFC North schedule, getting a lot of the AFC West and the NFC South, just a bonanza of favorable matchups, and the Steelers and Bengals cross over this week. Now, you look at the Steelers' defense, I think, a bit overachieved in a desperation game against the Falcons, but the Bengals kind of underachieved offensively beyond Joe Mixon. Now, is there someone in this game that you particularly like? I know we like everyone for the most part against these defenses, but who's the one guy on both sides that have the best matchup?
Well, I think if you look at the best matchup, it might be CJ Uzomah. I mean, the Steelers are giving up points left and right to opposing tight ends. We saw last week that Austin Hooper goes out. You know, he's a streaky guy from a fantasy standpoint, but he goes out and he takes advantage of that good matchup. Uzomah has some athleticism. He had a nice, essentially, it was a screen pass last week where he, you know, he got a little run after catch on it. So I think he's intriguing, especially for a lot of folks out there who are really desperate at the tight end position. That might be surprisingly the best matchup out of all of them in this contest.
Yeah, looking at these slot receivers, they've been very productive. You know, Tyler Boyd kind of cooled off last week, and then without the touchdown, Juju Smith-Schuster would have cooled down there in that Falcons scoring fest. So how do you kind of see those guys playing out? Do you see a kind of a rebound game in terms of their targets and catches?
Well, I think we're seeing the true regression to the mean. Certainly with Juju, he was kind of outkicking his coverage from a target standpoint, seeing heavy volume there. While Antonio Brown didn't get off to the best start, I mean, for most players, his start was just fine. But, you know, we're used to this high level of production out of Brown. And then we saw that last week, and really the key was his usage in the red zone. Antonio Brown saw 5 targets in the end zone last week, which now puts him in the lead for the season with 11 of them. And obviously scoring 2 touchdowns was big. I think we still have to view Juju as we viewed him to start the season, which is really more of a back end wide receiver 2, not a back end wide receiver 1, which is what he was in September. And Tyler Boyd, he's going to have upside in certain contests, but again, we got to view him for what he is, and he is more of a wide receiver 3.
Now, with the Patriots and the Chiefs game, this is by far the highest over-under of the week, probably the highest that we might see until I think the Chiefs and Rams play later in the season. But when you look at the Chiefs, I'm trying to figure out week to week where they might go. If you think about the Patriots and their whole, we take away the best thing the other team does, you would probably imagine they kind of go after containing Tyreek Hill, and maybe it's more of a Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce game.
It certainly could be a Travis Kelce game. With the Patriots, what they're rare in that almost every week they will shadow with all 3 of their corners, which is just something we don't typically see in the NFL. So if they do go that route, typically, I mean, a lot of times what they're doing is they're putting their slot corner on the slot receiver. That's Jonathan Jones on Tyreek Hill. You have to imagine that that's an advantage for Hill. So I actually like Hill's upside in this contest. And we saw last week, I mean, if the Steelers are out, or if the Patriots are able to get out to a lead, then we could see, you know, heavy volume from the pass game from the Chiefs. And there's obviously no guarantee that that happens. Either way, I think it's going to be a slugfest. And I'm not overly concerned if I have Tyreek Hill. Even, you know, last week we knew it was going to be a down week against the Jaguars. Not overly concerned, and I think you're going to be just fine with him as well.
Now, with the Chiefs defense, they played a little bit better last week. Doesn't look like Justin Houston is going to play. I don't think he was playing all that well anyway. But I don't think there's too much there that you worried about with the New England side. Josh Gordon, do you think that shot play touchdown is going to get him more involved? I mean, the matchup is just too good to ignore, and looks like the Patriots are going to need some big plays in this one.
I don't know if it's that play gets him more involved. I think it's just that they're continuing to get him more involved in the offense as we go forward here, because he just had to get up to speed ultimately here. That's the whole reason why he didn't go in his first game with the Patriots. It wasn't the injury. It's just he didn't know enough to be out there on the field. We saw his snaps increase, 18 pass routes this week, 4 targets for him in that. And Chris Hogan ran 43 pass routes and saw 4 targets. So it just shows you, you know, how heavily involved he could be if he's out there for more snaps. So I think now is the point. If you have Josh Gordon, you kind of waited to see it. You saw it happen. Now we can start trying to figure out ways to get him in our starting lineups, especially in a game that almost has a 60 over under.
Now, the Patriots backfield used to be the bane of everyone's existence here in fantasy football, but have you seen as much clarity as you can possibly get from this with Sonny Michel and James White pretty much being guys you want to get in there almost every week now?
Yeah, and the breakdown is pretty simple. It doesn't take a football mastermind to decipher this. Michel is the early down back, and James White is the passing down back. He's going to get carries in that role, of course, but he's going to be heavily involved as a receiver. And both of them can be considered borderline RB1s in that role just because of how productive that offense is. Now, of course, if you're in a standard, you might want to downgrade White just a little bit, but still, he's touching the ball so much. He's obviously a red zone weapon for them, which is rare for a running back to be a receiving red zone weapon, but he is that, and he's shown it this season. So you have to be happy if you have both of those guys.
Now, going on to another crossover from the NFC South, these games are great. AFC North, NFC South games that take them and enjoy them and try to get shares of them. Jameis Winston returning to start here for the Bucs, and maybe some Ronald Jones, more of him in the backfield. And what do you kind of expect out of this Bucs offense coming out of the bye? It seems like Cameron Brate, this is a perfect game with him for him with the Falcons. Injuries, no O.J. Howard, and his favorite QB coming back.
Yeah, that's the big thing. There's a chemistry between Jameis Winston and Cameron Brate. We just didn't see that with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He had obviously better chemistry there with O.J. Howard, so that bodes well. Tight end has been so brutal this season, and it just seemingly doesn't get that much better. I mean, Greg Olsen coming back this week is going to be a good thing for folks who are looking for tight end help. But it's just a tough position. So if you have Cameron Brate, he's a viable streamer option in this matchup.
Now, what do you like and don't like about this Bucs running game? I know there hasn't been much to like, but do you think Ronald Jones is a guy that maybe in this matchup that can get going here in his first kind of extended action?
Well, we know that the Falcons have really struggled against the run since week one, losing basically, you know, most of their key run defenders in the second level of the defense, you know, losing Deion Jones and Keanu Neal. That's just huge for this defense. So if there's a week where you can get him going, I think this is the week. We saw him out carry Peyton Barber before the bye, and I do think that continues. And the surprising thing is a lot of people didn't actually pick up Ronald Jones. So if he's still out there, I always view these guys like scratch off lottery tickets. You're probably going to lose. You're going to lose a lot more than you win. But every time when you win one of those scratch off lottery tickets, it feels darn good. And the payoff is okay as well. And I think that's what you'll get with Ronald Jones.
Now, on the other side, I just have one question about the Falcons. We know their offense is going to do a lot of things in this. Is this the week Julio Jones scores a touchdown?
I don't ever want to predict touchdowns, but what I can tell you is this. Opposing quarterbacks are completing 77% of their passes against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 370 yards per game, 3.3 passing touchdowns per game. We saw Mitchell Trubisky look like a Hall of Fame quarterback against this team. If there is a week where touchdowns are going to come in bunches for the Falcons passing game, it's this week. And you really have to like to have all of the passing options. So it's not just Julio. It's Calvin Ridley, who should rebound. It's Mo Sanu, who has touchdowns in 2 of his last 3 games. It's Austin Hooper, like I said earlier, coming off a strong outing last week. Just get as much in on this as you can. And we've seen these games in Atlanta. I mean, I know the over-under isn't this high, but could we legitimately see 70, 80 points combined? It wouldn't surprise me the way that these games have been going.
Yeah, so definitely you want to get a lot of shares in that in your lineup and DFS as well. And finally, we'll look at the Rams-Broncos. And Rams, still some question marks about the concussions for Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp. So we won't know that for sure, but all signs point to this one being yet another Monster Todd Gurley game. It looks like if you got the number one pick in your fantasy draft, you're just rolling right now. And I noticed with the Broncos, they really struggle against power running teams. And that's kind of the product of the Isaiah Crowell game last week. Kareem Hunt showed some signs of it, running hard on them. This sets up pretty well for a high Gurley game, doesn't it?
It does. The Broncos are allowing 5.5 yards per carry to running backs. Only the Lions so far have allowed more. And obviously last week contributed to that. But interesting, you mentioned, you know, AFC West, three of the top five are on that list. So the Raiders at 5.1, the Chiefs at 5.5, the Broncos at 5.5. So start your running backs against them. Gurley, 13 carries inside the five-yard line this year. 13 of them already. He had 7 last week alone. So, of course, you're going to score a lot of touchdowns, 9 combined touchdowns already for him, over 600 scrimmage yards. I mean, it's just a well-oiled machine. And the way that they're running that offense, basically 11 personnel all the time, just opens up big gaps for Gurley to run through. So you have to love him in this contest. You know, and the other side is pretty interesting, though, too, because I keep mentioning end zone targets. Cortland Sutton had 5 last week, 5 end zone targets, 7 on the season. And if you look at Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders combined on the season, they have 2. Cortland Sutton, 7. 2 Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. This is interesting. Now, I don't know necessarily if Case Keenum's long for this job. I mean, get Chad Kelly in the bullpen warming up right now. But it's interesting to see this young player emerging here and starting to really, you know, surface on the fantasy radar.
And you look at the Rams secondary, they obviously missed Aqib Talib. Marcus Peters seems to not be running at full speed there. I think the rookie David Moore in Seattle had a touchdown against him last week. So I guess this lines up really well for Sutton because it also looks like the snap share is slowly going toward him over Demaryius Thomas at this point.
Yeah, well, Demaryius is still obviously going to be out there. You have to be happy with a bounce back week. And it could have been a bounce back week the week before if Case Keenum could have just hit him in stride. Emmanuel Sanders seeing heavy volume. But yeah, Cortland Sutton, if he's out there, even if you're in regular size leagues, you know, for a while he's been maybe a deep league stash. But if you're in a 12-team league and maybe you're looking around for upside at wide receiver, you know, this is the time where you can trim some fat, get rid of guys who you'll probably never use, don't have the high ceiling, and start getting some of these high ceiling guys in. And Cortland Sutton definitely is one of those guys.
All right, Jeff, some great information on those games for sure. And all that great pro football focus data that you have always helps in making us make the right decisions. What else are you working on at Pro Football Focus this week?
This week is another big week for us. On Thursday night, I have a live chat at Pro Football Focus at 7 p.m. Eastern. I'll be answering as many questions as I can. I did 134 of them in an hour last week. And then on Friday, the Friday focus from me, it's a free article. So if you're listening and you don't subscribe to PFF, it's not a big deal. Come check out what we have to offer. It's essentially my guide to the week, all your start sit decisions, all these cool stats and nuggets of information, and it's free.
Yeah, definitely check it out. And we love having the PFF doubleheader here on Wednesdays and Thursdays here to get you good to go with your matchups and lineups. Thanks, Jeff, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely, Vinny. Thanks.
Thanks again to Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus for helping us here break down the games. Tomorrow, as a reminder, we do a double shot of Pro Football Focus with Tyler Lochner joining us for some DFS-focused lineup advice for you. So a lot of good value plays out there as usual in Week 6. He's been doing really well with his cash game, so we love having his insight here. So looking forward to that. And whether you're playing a year-long or DFS and you're seeing these players put up some big points, you can take it to another level by actually seeing them in person. And sporting events, NFL games, this is what it's all about in the fall. Now you have baseball playoffs, hockey season, NBA. Well, whatever you're into, whether it's a sporting event or a musical or a concert, you got to get your tickets at Vivid Seats. It's the best online ticket marketplace out there. It's the place that's trying to make every experience unforgettable for you. And by really making the ticket buying experience a hassle-free one, there for you, where you can easily sort through sections of stadiums or venues and see what the best seats are. Really get the most bang for your buck and get out all the options there. And the best news of all is that if you're doing your first ticket purchase on Vivid Seats, so there's a special promo code for you as a listener of Locked On Fantasy Football. That's a Locked On there. And if you enter that promo code either at the Vivid Seats website or using their app, you'll save a solid $20 off your first ticket purchase up to $200 there. So it's a good way to get in, and you're going to get the best seats possible at the easiest, convenient way and the best price and value that you're going to find for that ticket. So you got to take advantage of that. And with Vivid Seats, you're buying with confidence because every purchase there is backed by their 100% game day, event day guarantee that you're going to be good to go. So check it out. Use the promo code Locked On to lock into Vivid Seats and save a little bit of money on your first ticket purchase there now. We'll be back to round up the last few games of Week 6 and their matchups here after the break. Now, we got a few more games to talk about. We crept into the 4 o'clock window with the Rams-Broncos. I talked about the primetime game as well. On Sunday night, Chiefs-Patriots with Jeff. So we got three more games that we have to look at here. It's the Jaguars and Cowboys at 4:25. And you look at this one. Jaguars haven't been as good on the road, and this matchup is tough. So I just think it's a defensive-minded game. You look at the over-under, that tells you enough there, 40.5. So not a lot of shares you want in this game. Really, I think I can simplify it for you. I think both defenses have some viability in this one. The Cowboys can get some sacks, and Blake Bortles has proved he can turn it over on the road. The Jaguars are Saxonville. This is a very limited Cowboys pass defense, so they can really smother them and get some big plays. So those are the two probably best plays. And if you're doing a bit of a sneaky stack, you can look at T.J. Yeldon and the Jags defense or Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys defense, because I think that's what this game is going to be mainly about, keeping it on the ground, grinding it out. These teams have excellent corners across the board, very good pass rushes, so nothing you want to see in the receiving core or the quarterbacks, Bortles or Dak Prescott. So very simple defense, running game, both sides. I kind of like T.J. Yeldon a little bit more, actually, than Zeke, and that's weird to say, but Yeldon did have a big game last week, scored, is being involved. There's no more Corey Grant. They did sign Jamal Charles behind him, but T.J. Yeldon has his backfield pretty much mostly to himself when Leonard Fournette is out, and I like him as the winning team here. The Jaguars could really put a big lead here. I know Elliott can do some work in the passing game, but that's where I would go if I'm picking a stack between these two. I'm going Yeldon and Jaguars over Elliott and Cowboys. Our next game here is the Ravens and Titans. It's a 41 over-under, so another low-scoring, ugly game. So I'm going to be off Joe Flacco and Marcus Mariota. I'm going to avoid the running games as well, Alex Collins, Buck Allen, Derrick Henry, and Deion Lewis. Nope, we're not touching any of that. Receivers are pretty ugly as well. If you need to play one receiver, I would say you go for John Brown of the Ravens because he can get it done. But Corey Davis, Tyrone Taylor, Tajay Sharp, Michael Crabtree, Willie Snead. No, I don't want any part of any of these guys this week. So yet another ugly game. Here, this game, you can't stack anything with defense or running game, but definitely the defenses are viable with the Ravens and Titans. Not a high-scoring game that I expect at all in this one. So I will say that's about it in this one. Nothing to see here too much. And you'll want to avoid this. And at least with the Jaguars-Cowboys, we have a little bit more we're looking forward to. And our final game here that we'll look at in Week 6 to break it down is the Packers and 49ers on Monday night. This would have been a different type of Monday night game feel had the 49ers still had Jimmy Garoppolo. But still, 9.5-point favorites for the Packers, 46.5. With the Packers, we know they're a little bit dysfunctional. Will they give Aaron Jones the ball enough in this one? We'll have to see if Geronimo Allison can come back, but I expect it's going to be more Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Graham and Devontae Adams doing some damage in the red zone as well again and dominating here. We'll see if Marquez Valdes-Scantling is going to be the guy here. That's going to be a little tough. You have to wait till Monday night potentially with Cobb. I would say Cobb is less likely to play Randall Cobb with the hamstring injury. Allison could be cleared and play with the concussion, so that might change the value in the end if you're trying to make a decision there before the weekend on who you're going to play. So Valdes-Scantling versus Allison, you can't really make that call. But Adams, you feel good about. Rodgers, you're locked into. Graham is fine. Aaron Jones, I might give him another shot because there's always some overcorrection and things that happen. They didn't give the ball enough to him. Part of it was the game flow. Keep that in mind. The Packers, when they get down even by a couple touchdowns, kind of abandon the run. They don't need to have to do that this week. I think they'll be ahead and play that way. And that means even if Jones is playing time with a coaching favorite and pass blocker extraordinaire Jamal Williams, and he's plodding along, that still means there's going to be plenty of opportunity for Jones if this Packers team gets up nicely, which you expect them to do against the secondary with Aaron Rodgers going to work at Monday Night Football. So that's good if there's any silver lining there for Aaron Jones after last week's disappointment. It's here because I think the usage is going to be more reliable in this one for sure, just the way the game is going to go. And with the 49ers, if you need to play C.J. Beathard, it's not insane. He's had two solid games here. You have to live with his mistakes, but it doesn't really matter in the bottom line if he's going to put up the numbers, and he's going to be throwing for most of this game. So you look at the backfield, Matt Breida is not going to play with that ankle injury. They're going to try their best to keep the game close with Alfred Morris, but in the end it's going to be opening it up and trying to get anyone involved. And that's a good thing about Beathard. It doesn't matter if it's Marquise Goodwin or Dante Pettis, if they're not playing, he's going to get a job done with anyone. If it's Kendrick Bourne or Trent Taylor or Kyle Juszczyk or George Kittle, he's going to get the job done. So that's the thing that you like about this 49ers. They've continued to play their offense here. So Kittle I really like a lot. How can you not? I think he's almost locked in this tight end wasteland of a season as an every week play. He's actually been improving here with his old college buddy C.J. Beathard at quarterback there from Iowa. So that's really helped, and the receiving injury issues have certainly helped as well. And Juszczyk is a nice little sleeper. He's going to get a lot of dump-offs. He was heavily involved in the passing game last week when Breida went down. So he's a guy that I'm looking at as a deep, deep shot here for the 49ers as well as George Kittle in the lineup. And Beathard, again, not a bad streamer this particular week. And I also like the Packers defense. With all that said, they're at home. The Monday night bump, they did come through for you against the Bills as a big favorite. So I think that's going to happen again. They'll get some turnovers, emotions, energy, and they need this win badly. And you'll see that produce on the field. So there you have it. There's a comprehensive look at all the things you need to know about both sides of every matchup going into week six in the NFL from a fantasy football perspective. This is how we do it for you every single week. Get that expert insight with our upgrade to Experts Edition with Jeff Ratcliffe, and take you through everything you need to know to help you make the best lineup decisions and know how these games are going to go. And reminder again, tomorrow, Tyler Lochner of Pro Football Focus also will join the show to look at our lineup decisions and pricing on DraftKings and FanDuel ahead of week six. For Lockdown Fantasy Football for Wednesday, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.